We got a guy on the line who's familiar with coming back and having deep, deep roots in Toronto. You know, winning his coach in franchise history. Was here for a long time. He and the Pistons rolled through here a couple of months ago and shocked the Raps. Raps were up big in the second half, and the Pistons came back and won on a buzzer beater. And Dwayne had a pretty decent reaction. He was pretty fired up for that win. And the Pistons are coming out of the break, and they're in Atlanta. They're taking on the Hawks tomorrow night. Here is the head coach of the Pistons, longtime coach of the Raptors, back on Overdrive. Here's Dwayne Casey. How you doing, Dwayne?
Hey, Brad. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. You still coming down from that win in Toronto a couple of months ago?
That's been so long ago and so many games ago, Brian. I can't remember, but it was a good win, like all of them. I haven't seen a bad one yet.
It's a good
so
point.
I will take all of them we can get. So, but it was a good. It's always good to go back where you come, you know, where you used to be, and that's why I always tried to have players, you know, play a little bit more in their home, their former team, because they usually have a little bit more juice, a little bit more intensity or whatever it is when they go back and play against their former team.
Well, different role. I mean, you're on the sideline, and DeMar's going to be on the court tomorrow night, but if you could give DeMar DeRozan any advice in terms of what he's going to experience tomorrow night, what would you give him?
Well, you know, it's difficult because, first of all, you're going back into an arena where, you know, you're going into a different locker room, a locker room you've probably never been in that many times, only to visit friends, and you're going in a different entrance, and just but you see the same people. So it's a different emotion, different feeling. That young man, you know, right, wrong, indifferent, he started the whole thing, the stretch of good basketball that the team is having right now. He started it, and he's the only player, star player, who decided to stay there. And, you know, I know it's hard to grasp and hold on to, but he decided to stay when he had other choices to go to other places. And so, you know, my hat is off to him because he had many opportunities to leave, a couple opportunities to leave, and not like a lot of other guys who had been there decided to stay, didn't try to force his way out, didn't try to, you know, talk his way out. He stayed and showed loyalty to the country of Canada and the fans of Toronto.
Well, you would have had this experience when you were in Dallas with Dirk, who obviously isn't from Dallas, and yet he seemed to set up roots there and was really connected to the city.
Right.
But you've been in the league for a long time. I mean, how often do you see players like Dirk in Dallas, like DeMar in Toronto, where mm-hmm. they're not from there, yet they seem right. to connect and they feel like there's a sense of loyalty? How often does that really happen in the NBA?
Well, it's rare. It's rare because there's only a few players that have done it. And then to the just the whole connotation in a different country and different whole nine yards, all the things we fought there for years, the taxes, the customs, and the weather, and all the bull crap that you fight all the time by being in a northern area that, you know, DeMar overlooked. The whole, you know, he fought a lot when we tried to recruit free agents. He helped sell Toronto, the city, and the people, the ownership, and the whole nine yards. So the loyalty factor is there, and there's something to be said for that as far as building a program and not, you know, winning at all costs, but you're building a program with roots. And he should, you know, be applauded for that.
With Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, Dwayne, like, it's interesting when you talk about, you know, DeMar coming from California into Toronto and everything. You know, is that a significant, I mean, not just a foreign country, but to go out of a climate that the players are simply not used to? Like, I mean, it can be a shock.
It is. It's different. And, you know, whether we want to, you know, people who like Toronto and like the people there who have friends there, whether they like it or not, it's real. I mean, it's something that you get asked all the time. And I, you know, recruiting free agents there was always a question about the weather, and it's something you can't change. My line was you play basketball inside. You don't play basketball outside. You play inside. So, but it's real. And you know, whether you know, want to like it or not, it's there as a question. And for a young man like DeMar from Compton, but again, in the back of DeMar's mind, it's the only place he knew. He was drafted there. People were good to him there. Ownership was good to him there. His teammates, and I'll never forget, he was the only player that came. It was right after the Chris Bosh leaving that he came to the press conference and said, "Hey, look, you know, we're going to build something good here," and we did. And So I'll never forget that, and I'll always be indebted to DeMar as being the player that started things and was a role model and did everything right as far as building a program. And was he a perfect player? No. I mean, I don't know if there's a guy other than his name, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan is a perfect player, but he had his warts just like we all do. But there's substance to that young man that you can't put a finger on. And he does. He fits the Canadian culture that I learned to love and to care about. And he fit that culture. And there's something that's worth something, should be worth something.
With Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Pistons, Detroit in Atlanta tomorrow night. DeMar will be back at Scotiabank tomorrow night. Spurs taking on the Raptors. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. We spoke after the season, after you got let go. You came on the show and you kind of explained how you felt about the whole scenario. But when we spoke, I don't believe DeMar had been traded yet. Right. If you can take us back to Game 4 against Cleveland, excuse me, were you expecting this much change? I mean, yourself included. This was a three-headed monster in Toronto for a number of years, where it was yourself, Kyle, and DeMar. That was the core of the team. And there were other pieces involved, of course. But as you look back on it now, are you surprised that not only yourself moving on, but that DeRozan was traded as well?
Well, again, you always are surprised by it because I thought we had something going there, and unless you do go out and bring a guy like Leonard or whatever superstar in, we were also in the process of growing, developing, and you're seeing the fruits now of a guy like Pascal Siakam, the fruits of growing him, the fruits of growing a kid like Van Fleet, Jonas Valanciunas, and turning him into big time assets. So, that's the toughest thing to do. And I said that the entire time I was there is to develop and win at the same time. And we did that. And so again, as you're doing that, you never, so we're going to see it to the finish. You always think you're going to see it to the finish, but, other people thought otherwise and that's their prerogative, but, didn't see, just because LeBron James, it reminds me so much, Brian, about in the days when Michael Jordan was dominating the East, and again, if you fired every coach that didn't beat the Jordan at that time or the old Pistons or the old Celtics, there was always, if you know the history of basketball, there's always roadblocks to get over until it's your turn. And so we were going through that with James there in Cleveland and he went there 9 straight years to the finals and got us in the conference finals, semifinals. And again, that wasn't enough, but that's ownership's prerogative and the general manager's prerogative. But there's a lot of other coaches he went through at the same time that couldn't get over that hurdle. And it eventually was going to happen if he had stayed there. But fortunately for the East, he left. And we all now have an opportunity to fight for the Eastern Conference.
Dwayne, I'm not going to ask this question as any type of an indictment, but I mean, with all your experiences in the game, and you talked about winning and developing, and we know what the demands are on winning and everything, but do you see a difference, like not only at the NBA level, but at the college level, where players are expecting to be in a certain role without having developed the requisite, not only physical skills, but the mental awareness to excel in those roles?
Craig, that is a great point in the fact that, young players coming into the league, there's so much, so many expectations with young players coming to the NBA. And I do fault the AAU system in the fact that, you go and play, 3 or 4 games on the weekend and you don't, it doesn't matter how many games you win or lose. Just as long as you get enough touches or that many points or get your numbers or whatever. So, it's that now factor and that now time and instant. Everybody wants instant success, instant minutes, instant points, instant touches. And it just doesn't happen that way in the NBA. There's an old tried and true rule. You got to pay your dues in the NBA to get where you want to go. And a lot of times you're going to hit a lot of bump in the roads and have a lot of failures. But it's how you come out of those failures that you do build something special, something that lasts, not something that's a flash in the night. That's good for now, but 2 years from now, you don't, recognize what you've tried to build. So, young players a lot of times don't understand that, and And that's called coaching. That's part of coaching and teaching and mentoring. And you, hopefully you have guys around like a DeMar DeRozan, you know, on your team that can talk to young players and let them know what he went through as a young player to get to where he is, a four-time All-Star, and, you know, who's, you know, who led a team to the conference finals, to the top of the Eastern Conference from the bottom. And it was while he was growing that he did that, and that's a story to be told to a lot of young players.
Well, it's very germane to the biggest story in American sports right now, what happened with that Duke-UNC game last night where Zion Williamson, you know, blew a shoe and almost blew his knee out, and now everyone's having the debate, you know, should he ever play again, et cetera. Right. You know, you were at Kentucky. You won, you know, a national title at Kentucky. You spent 4 years there. I won't ask you to get into the whole debate about high school and the draft and all that kind of stuff, but can you speak to how valuable that was for you? Just learning how to win, you know, and actually having that memory of winning an NBA or an NCAA title.
Brian, not only winning, but becoming a man. I just think that there's so many things you go through in life as a young man, and then you throw them into the NBA arena, the travel, the finances, the relationships, or whatever it is. You know, if you don't go to college and go through a college situation where somebody's telling you what to do, what time to be to class, and be held accountable for going to class and doing those things, it's very difficult to go from a teenager into a man's world. And whether we like it or not, the NBA is a man's world. And so those years are precious. And all this stuff about you shouldn't go to college, you know, I know talking to Cliff Hagan back in the day when he was athletic director at Kentucky, he talked about those guys had to go to the military, you know, then come back and play basketball. So you're talking about teaching you how to become a man. Going to the military taught those guys that, and they were better basketball players, better fathers, better husbands because of that. So the notion of that you shouldn't go to college and you shouldn't play, you know, the young man, I don't even know the young man, but he would probably be somewhere in a rec gym playing somewhere anyway, and that shoe could pop out or you could hurt your knee there working out somewhere anyway. So, but again, I think that may be too old school, but I think young men should go to college, enjoy the experience, learn how to be a man, learn how to be held accountable, learn to told no, you know, because a lot of guys coming out of those situations have never been told no before. And all at once, here's this big, bad NBA coach saying, hey, you can't do that, you can't do this, you got to do it this way. And that's a whole new line of learning and line of executing or playing the game from that standpoint. So, it's so many things that you can learn by a college experience that I know I learned at Kentucky and winning the championship. I learned how to win. I knew how hard it was to win and had a great coach in Joby Hall. So, you know, I recommend to a lot of young players to go to college and enjoy the experience and learn as much as you can before you jump into this game. Believe me, if you're a top pick this year, I promise you, you know, you're going to be in the same status in the draft a couple of years from now.
With Dwayne Casey, we'll get you out of here on this, and I would love some honesty and some candor in this moment. You look at the standings, there's a chance, there's a very good chance, Detroit Toronto in the first round. Are you tracking that or what, Dwayne?
No, I promise. All that we want to do is get in the dance. We're exactly where we were first year in Toronto, just trying to become relevant. I mean, the difference is in Detroit, there's three trophies sitting there looking at me every day, championship trophies that they've won, three parades that they've had, but we're trying to get back to that, close to that level. We're not there yet, changing the style of play. I think we're 10th in defense right now, but, you know, the same place where we were in Toronto. I think at that time we were 30th in defense and 20-something in offense, and we're trying to get our program there. So all our goal is right now is to get into the dance, you know, 8th, 7th, whatever it is, Brian, and then from there make some noise. And again, to win in this league, you know, that's a reason why San Antonio's been so successful. The years Utah's been successful, Chicago, you know, that continuity, that consistency, you know, it may be boring and not exciting. You may hit bumps in the road, but to build something special in this league that lasts, you know, there's got to be consistency, and that's what we're trying to build here. And we're taking our lumps and, you know, proud of it and learn from it and man up from it. But Doesn't matter who we play, just as long as we get in there this year and try to make some noise from there.
Well, we're always tracking it up here. You know that. We wish you nothing but success tomorrow night and the rest of the way. And hopefully we see in Toronto a lot come April. Good luck the rest of the way. Dwayne, we appreciate you doing this.
That'd be great, Brian. Great, always great talking to you, my friend. And like I said, you represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
There's Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Detroit Pistons.
There's a bromance.